Welcome to Sports Authority Field at Mile High, Arrowhead Stadium, to Qualcomm Stadium, Paul Brown Stadium here in Cincinnati. The Denver Broncos are at home to face the New England Patriots.
To the house! He's hit and sacked inside the five. The ball is free on Miller again. Touchdown, Denver! Are you kidding me?
My goodness. Crowd making noise. Denver Broncos are world champions. They have just won Super Bowl 50. And Lombardi Trophy is coming home to the Mile High City.
We're back here at Buffalo Wild Wings and Highlands Ranch with Andrew Mason, Matt Boyer. I'm Phil Milani. Our thanks to Corey Nelson, who joined us in the previous two segments. We've gone through weeks 1 through 12 of the Broncos' 2016 season. Guys, some things that stick out from that.
Well, I definitely think the late bye. We heard it from Corey how important it is to kind of get your body right, to get away from football but still maintain focus on the goals ahead. I think that bye in that middle of road games is going to be extremely beneficial. And also, I think, just for me personally, very cool to kind of go to new venues like New Orleans and like Tampa Bay.
Places we're excited about.
Well, yeah, we're excited about it. But places that we haven't, or as a team, as a franchise, haven't gone in a long time, I think the players get just as big a kick out of it as we do.
I think just looking back at Kansas City coming out of the break before Thanksgiving, I mean, that kind of you start get into the stretch run. And what's interesting, last year the Broncos played the Chiefs after their bye. Andy Reid's teams are 15-2 all time after the bye, and the Broncos are 21-6 all time after the bye. So maybe turn the tables just a little bit.
Yeah, the other thing that we talked about, facing Houston and Brock Osweiler, that's going to be a huge matchup. And now let's pick things up with week 13, heading to Jacksonville and, of course, facing Malik Jackson.
Yeah, Malik Jackson and Julius Thomas. Don't forget about him. He's still down there. Just a very potent offense. Look there. They're 5-11. Defense struggled. Offense did very well in spurts. Of course, the last time they met, 35-19 game back in 2013 at Sports Authority Field at Mile High. They also had Chris Ivory, Prince Mukamara at cornerback. He's going to help them out. Some losses, Stefan Wisniewski, Chris Clemens, but I think they're going to be able to overcome that. But Jacksonville is a place where the Broncos have struggled over the years. They had the one win there back in 2005. Other than that, they've lost their other trips there. They don't go over there very often. They haven't been there since 2010. It was the opener of that season. Broncos lost that game, hoping for a little bit better this time.
As May said, 4-5 all time against the Jaguars haven't been great. However, playing against Malik, I think, gives this game a new dynamic. Playing against a guy who not only left, but also got a really nice contract, and also is a very prominent player now in a city like that. I also think that they're going to enjoy playing against Julius Thomas, another guy who left amid much fanfare. I think they're going to really enjoy playing against those guys in a rivalry-type setting.
There's another guy who's going to have this game circled, Brandon Marshall.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Of course, the Jaguars, he was on their practice squad. They brought him to the roster, then they let him go at the end of the 2013 preseason. He ends up in Denver. And, when you talk to Brandon about his early career in Jacksonville, he's still a little bit bitter, I think. And I think he wants to show the Jaguars what they missed out on.
Yeah, of course, Malik Jackson, getting back to him, 5.5 sacks, 34 tackles in 2015, 7 passes defended. And let's talk about Jacksonville for a little bit. They're definitely a team on the rise. They're going to get Dante Fowler back. That defense is better. And, of course, Bortles, another year of experience.
Well, Blake Bortles is a guy a lot like Derek Carr, who's kind of bided his time, really come up through the ranks, taken his lumps, but has really shown the ability to move the ball well. We saw it last year in that Thursday night game. He played exceptionally well. I think that we're going to see a lot of growth from him this year. That quarterback class, that young core of quarterbacks, guys like Carr, Mariota, Winston, and Bortles, I think are going to take a pretty big jump here in this next season.
The one thing about the Jaguars offense, it did well in spurts. It did well against bad defenses.
That's true.
And that's something they've got to fix to take that next step. They're going to have to do well against defenses, frankly, like the Broncos. And if the Jaguars come together and are playing really well, I think they may see this game as something of a litmus test for them.
Yeah, we all think about Jacksonville as the last few years of Jacksonville, but Broncos fans remember Mark Brunell coming in here and crushing their dreams with John Elway back in 1996.
You went there, Phil. You went
I didn't want to go there. You talk about visiting some places that we like, Florida in December, not a bad deal. And we also heard that maybe Mace might jump into that pool out there.
We saw it in San Francisco.
We saw it in San Francisco. Might jump into the pool there.
Well, between Jacksonville and Tampa, I mean, Tampa's my old home area. I can just go to my parents' house and jump in their pool for that
Mace's specialty. And we mentioned younger quarterbacks. We're facing one again in Week 14, Marcus Mariota and the Tennessee Titans.
Well, Mariota, like you said, we just brought him up in that class of Bortles, Carr. We take a look at the tail of the tape here. 3-13 last year, not very good at all. However, it was a growing year for Mariota and the Titans, a very young team. Key additions include Rishard Matthews, Sean Spence, and center Ben Jones. Key losses, safety Michael Griffin and linebacker Steven Johnson. The last time these two teams met, a very cold, one of the coldest days I've ever been a part of on the field at Sports Authority Field. December 8th, 2013, the Titans 51-28 losers to the Broncos. I think one of the most interesting things about this one is going to be Mariota, the growth. Do we see it come to life early on and then kind of carry over into the end of the season? I'm very interested to see what kind of team we get in that month of December, because the way I see it, the Tennessee Titans could go a lot of different ways in the first couple of months, and that could dictate what we get in Week 14.
You mentioned their key additions. Those key additions, I think, are still to come.
Right.
Yes. Because they, after the trade today with the Rams, they're sitting on 6 picks in the first 76. This is going to be the core draft for them. Now, obviously, they've got the quarterback. You know, they've targeted the offensive line a bit. I think now they're going to try to get the best 6 players they can and really start filling out that roster and really start building a core. I, too, am interested to see where they are. The Jaguars and Titans in December, it's kind of dangerous potentially, because those are young teams that could really be gelling by that point. And those are the kind of teams that maybe you'd rather face early when they're finding themselves rather than late when they have confidence. If they do have confidence, maybe one of these two games in December is that sneaky tough game that you're looking at the schedule right now from 35,000 feet and saying, oh, those are games the Broncos should win, but might get to that point, and it might be a tough game when they get down there.
One thing to note real quick, the last 11 a.m. mountain kick for the Broncos this season, so brunch with the Broncos ends after Week 14.
Exactly. And the other thing, no key addition there, DeMarco Murray, a big-time pickup there for their backfield in Tennessee. Now we get to a game that most Broncos fans have probably been waiting for. The New England Patriots come into town again this year. No more Foxborough for us for a little bit.
No, they finally come back to Sports Authority Field at Mile High in Week 15. They shared the same record last year, 12-4. Their last meeting, of course, who could forget? 20-18 AFC Championship, the deflected two-point conversion picked off by Bradley Roby in the end zone. Key additions include Martellus Bennett, Terrence Knighton, Pot Roast, we're familiar with his work, defensive end Chris Young. Key losses, Akeem Hicks and Chandler Jones. The home team has won the last 7 meetings. As you alluded to, Phil, the home field playing a very big role in this matchup. I like the fact that the NFL has decided to schedule this matchup so far into the end of the season, because this game will absolutely have playoff implications if you believe everything will go to form the way it has the past couple of years.
They actually scheduled it in Week 15 back in 2011 as well, and that game too had playoff implications, and in fact they met again in the postseason a few weeks later. Of course, you talk about home field. The Broncos are 7-2 all time at home against Tom Brady-led teams. I mean, you can see the impact of that. It's not just with Peyton Manning. I mean, they've beaten Tom Brady with Jake Plummer in Denver. They beat him with Brian Greasy. They beat him with Kyle Orton back in 09. So certainly, that's something to consider as well. And the Patriots come back in 2017, where it's the quirk of the schedule is that the way that it is with the Broncos in the AFC West and the AFC East, they kind of jam things together when you're not paired with them. In 2017, the Patriots come to Denver. So it may be by 2017, Patriots fans are asking, why do we always go to Denver? Much like Broncos fans were always asking, why do we always have to go to New England?
And we remember that AFC Championship game, the last meeting between Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Of course, Brady haunted by Von Miller all day long. But who else? But not to mention, we forget about that snow game that was so epic just a few weeks before that.
Well, this game is being played on December 18th, and there is definitely a chance for snow in this one. We alluded to it before, but no longer is this Manning versus Brady. This is going to be the Broncos versus the Patriots, two very good teams historically against each other. But I like the fact, as good as Peyton and as great as he has been throughout his entire career, and as good as he was with the Broncos, I do like the fact that this is going to be these two hard-nosed teams facing off against each other.
And don't forget the snow game. That was a Brock Osweiler start.
That
so
was.
The Broncos have already proven and have that belief that they don't need Peyton Manning under center to beat Patriots.
They were down 21-7 in that game, came back and got the victory. And moving on to Week 16, another game that the Broncos were down in last year and came back and got the victory against the Chiefs. And this one, on Christmas Day.
Merry Christmas, guys. We are going to be in Kansas City on Christmas in Week 16. Last year, of course, the Chiefs getting an 11-5 record. The previous meetings, as we saw on the road, Bradley Roby picking up the fumble recovery and taking it to the house, 29-13, your final in Week 2 of last season. Mitchell Schwartz and Rod Streeter, key additions. Broncos have won 6 out of the last 7 games at the Chiefs. We know about the Broncos' vaunted road record against AFC West opponents. One of the things that I like about this game, Sunday Night Football, this is the only game that the Broncos are going to play. This is the only game that's going to be on Christmas as far as the NFL. One cool note, however, the Broncos 2-0 on Christmas historically throughout the entire history of the franchise.
Actually, though, I think there's a 4:30 game. 4:30 Eastern time game.
Oh, there is.
On Christmas. There is going to be one. So it's not the only game.
I've been misinformed, Mace.
There's going to be another game. But the Broncos have the Sunday night spotlight. I'm disappointed, though, that we're going to Kansas City at Christmas, because that means we're going to be there Christmas Eve and probably all the barbecue restaurants are going to be closed.
Yep. I don't think so.
I do.
I do. I'm bummed about this beyond belief.
Hey, well, it makes sense. Christmas, a lot of red in the stands. Right. You see Santa Claus maybe in the stands on Christmas Day. And finally, let's get to Week 17. This could determine a lot, guys, because of how good the AFC West is this year. The Oakland Raiders come to Denver.
Week 17, this is it. We saw an AFC West opponent come into Denver last year, the last week of the season. The Broncos got it done against the Chargers. This year, the Raiders come to town. The last time the Raiders came to Denver, of course, we remember that 15-12 loss against Oakland. Khalil Mack having himself a day. Unbelievable stats from Khalil Mack during that game. Again, key additions. We mentioned Bruce Irvin earlier. Broncos winning 8 out of the last 10 meetings in this series. One final note about the month of January, though. 2-7, the Broncos are all-time in the regular season in the month of January. That's not great. However, I do think they started a new trend last year, beating the Chargers in, I believe it was on January 3rd, to lock up the number one seed.
Yeah, Raiders have actually had a lot of success in Denver over the years. I mean, Broncos are 8-7 against them at Sports Authority Field at Mile High. The Raiders had the win last year. They certainly won't be intimidated. And also, the other thing you got to look at, historically speaking, I kind of like this, the 39th anniversary of the Broncos' AFC Championship game win at Old Mile High Stadium over the Raiders. So if the Broncos are battling for the playoffs in Week 17, maybe get a little extra mojo from that.
The Broncos have won 5 straight division titles. This game could make it a 6th straight division title. And, of course, the Broncos could win their 29th or have their 29th winning season. So we've gone through Weeks 1 through 17. Guys, let's just recap this thing here before we go. What do you think that fans are most looking forward to here?
I really like the fact that they're going to play on holidays. I think it's kind of a cool quirk. We don't really see a lot of holiday games in the NFL when it pertains to Christmas. We see it on Thanksgiving, but those are only the 3 regularly scheduled games. I do enjoy the fact that they're going to play on New Year's Day and they're going to play on Christmas. I also enjoy the fact that we're going to see a lot of different cities that we haven't seen before. We're going to see New Orleans. We're going to see Tampa. We're going to see Jacksonville, Tennessee. I think a lot of those cities, bringing the Broncos to those cities, to those fan bases that don't necessarily get a chance to see, because as we saw last year, Chicago had a ton of Bronco fans, San Diego has a ton of Bronco fans, there are Bronco fans all over this country, and so to take this team into different areas that we necessarily haven't been to in a long time, I think is really cool.
I think for the defense trying to have an encore from its exquisite 2015 season, I look at the schedule and I see a lot of great quarterbacks, and I see emerging quarterbacks. You see Blake Bortles, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Andrew Luck, and then, of course, you see guys like Drew Brees and Tom Brady. So the Broncos are going to be tested with young and old quarterbacks on this schedule, and you really hope that Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware can have the same kind of pass rush punch without Malik Jackson on the inside. That's going to be key.
The path has been laid out for the Broncos to defend their Super Bowl title. And guys, it's the middle of April. It's cool to be talking about football, getting excited about next year. We'll have tons of draft coverage coming in the next 2 weeks. And exactly 2 weeks from tonight, we'll be live again with the draft starting day one of the draft first round. Of course, this is Mace's favorite time of the year. So
it's like Christmas for me. Forget about Christmas in Kansas City. My Christmas is in 2 weeks.
Christmas right. In 2 weeks. We'll be live from the Broncos facility, and it'll be an exciting time to start thinking about next season for the Broncos. Okay, for Andrew Mason and Matt Boyer, I'm Phil Milani, and that's been the Broncos 2016 regular season schedule release. Just want to thank a couple of people here on site, Mike Bonner, Austin Brink, Pat Jordan, and then back in the control room at Sports Authority Field at Mile High, Aaron Gunning, Spencer Millard, Nick Young, Aaron Favis, Luis Miranda, and Jeremy Wecker. They're the guys who make this show possible. So thank you for
joining us,
and we'll see you again in 2 weeks.
Welcome to Sports Authority Field at Mile High, at Arrowhead Stadium, to Qualcomm Stadium, Paul Brown Stadium here in Cincinnati. The Denver Broncos are at home to face the New England Patriots.
To the house! He's hit and sacked inside the five. The ball is free on Miller again. Touchdown, Denver! Are you kidding me?
Oh my goodness. Crowd making noise. Denver Broncos are world champions. They have just won Super Bowl 50, and Lombardi Trophy is coming home to the Mile High City.